World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, oh man, oh man, the eighth day of May already. Where does time go? This is show 2147. Before I get going too far, thanks to Sue Adams. She sent me a little sign. I don't know if you guys, I get a lot of neat stuff from people. This is a good one. It says a good coach can change a game, but a great coach can change a life. So I got it, Sue. Going to find some place to hang it up down here. Appreciate the little gifts and knickknacks folks send us. What a team we have, man. It's a great team. We're catching some, we're causing a little bit of a firestorm here, and we're starting to catch some attention. We're going to be on, some of us are going to be on with Doug Hagman tonight at 7 o'clock. By some of us, I mean, I heard from Doug, and he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, that a lot going on. You guys got a lot going on. Could you get a couple of you guys to come on and talk about some of the things that you're doing? So some of the Coach Dave Livers are going to be on the Hagman Report last night, or tonight, I'm sorry, explaining what it is we're doing. What was it General Flynn said? Local action equals national impact. Get our eyes off of Washington, D.C. We're not going to change Washington, D.C. Where do you watch the Hagman Report? You go to HagmanPI.com. HagmanPI.com. Put that in the chat for me, Spencer. HagmanPI.com. It'll be on at 7 o'clock. Of course, then it's there. It's archived forever and ever and ever. We're going to have Randy's going to, if I get a hold of Randy, if he responds, I'm sure he will respond. Talk about staking. We're going to have JR talk about the Natural Family Foundation. We're going to have Craig Mickles going to talk about saving God's children. And these are just, folks, these are just initiatives of people that are so practical and easy for people to do. And I really think that's what we got to get our mind off of Washington, D.C. We got to get our mind out of there. Although what happens in Washington, D.C. certainly impacts and affects us all. We understand that, right? But we can't do anything about it. It was like when we had Tom Condon on the other day. We're all frustrated because we want somebody to clean up the legal system. Well, we can't clean it up in Washington, D.C. It's a rigged game. It's a Luciferian capture. So we have to push back against it locally. That's what we're going to talk about here this morning as well. But I want to make you aware, just as a couple more things real quickly, the event in Texas. I got to fly to Texas. No, Lion Coach. I'm driving to Texas. Is it this weekend? Michelle, I'm so screwed up. No, we're at Croton this weekend. I'm going to be in Croton. Pull that one up there. His glory, Croton. We're having a local event. Folks, you can come. Time to save. Nope, that's the wrong one. That's wrong. And there it is. There we go. Patriot Preparedness Symposium right here in Croton, Ohio. And, you know, they have the barcode or whatever to do that. General event tickets are $75. And again, people ask me, why do they charge so much? The VIP is $295 and it's sold out. Because, friends, it takes a lot of money you got to rent a venue. You got to rent somebody that's going to do the streaming. You got to pay travel for people coming. It costs a lot of money to do these things. My goodness, I take my grandkids to Wendy's and it's $60. Wendy's, $60, right? So understand what this whole thing is about, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good, and that's right here locally. And if you like that, go to that website. What's the website we got there? I just put the link in there. His Glory, is that what it is? Yeah, got the right one. Yeah. His Glory, and there's where you that His Glory. I'm sorry, that's the one's going to be in Texas next weekend. I'll be in Texas for an event down in Texas next week. Dave Scarlett's putting on with His Glory Ministries, right? So Scott McKay's putting this one on in Croton. Sorry, I got a million things running through my head and some stuff I really want to get to you today. So bear with me. Jude has got his hand up. Must be important. Go ahead, Judd.
Coach, I was just going to say that tickets for Scott's event are $50. And if you're a veteran right now, it looks like the next 25 are free. But obviously, knowing the back end of this whole thing, Scott is not making money at all. He's basically doing this out of his heart.
He's not making, do you hear that, folks? He's not making money on this thing. He's not making money.
Serve the community.
Right? Yeah. And I'm going to, I always feel bad about asking for money. But, folks, it takes money to do what we're doing. Do you have any idea how much money Fox News spends? They sell advertising. We don't sell advertising here, right? So come on, you get it. I'm not trying to bang anybody for any money. It takes money to do things. Have you checked a gallon of gas? Checked an airline flight? I used to be able to fly to Texas for $190. Now it's $290 to fly. I'm going to drive, but that's a whole nother story. So anyway, be part of that, and then don't forget Sky High coming up first day of spring, June 21, 22, 23. Going to be good. Flip Benham. Folks, if you never heard Flip Benham, dudes, Sheila Holm and Tom Renz, the attorney Tom Renz. It's going to be awesome, man. So we'd love for you to be able to come, and we're working on a hotel. We're going to get all that stuff posted. That's June 21st. June 21st, okay? It's going to be really, really, really good. I'm looking out there. I'm looking at that. Okay. You guys all know what's going on, man. We're in a war. In fact, we're in a much bigger war than what we even understand. And I'm beginning to hear that more and more from people who speak. I went and heard Alan Keyes the other night. Alan Keyes. And Alan Keyes is now starting to use that word, that term. We are, folks, we're already at war. It's a spiritual war, but the spiritual war is manifesting itself in the physical and the natural. And the Luciferians have seized control of our government. I know that's hard for you to understand. I know that there's a separation between the church and state. I know your pastor says we're not supposed to get involved in politics. I know that your pastor says we're not going to mix the sacred with the secular here. Although the scripture says that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, which means we are to infiltrate the secular. We are supposed to do all that stuff, right? And we're not doing it. We're in that mess because we are not doing that. I want to share a scripture with you today, and then I want to encourage you. I thought we had a really, really good show yesterday with good ideas about how we need to begin to fight back. As I shared yesterday, David took down Goliath with Goliath's own sword. And what is the sword that they've used against us? They have used the legal system. Everything, every radical moral change that's happened in America has not happened through the legislative process, folks. It's happened through court decisions. Court decisions. You know, up until 19, I don't want to get this wrong, 76, although Spencer could check it. You don't have to, Spencer. Did you know that it was against the law to get a divorce? You know, you couldn't get them to divorce? That's why when we were growing up, a couple of my friends didn't have a parent. They only had one parent. They lived with their mom. And I remember I was about 12 or 13. I can't remember what it was. My mom kind of quietly said, "Well, honey, their parents are divorced." Anybody remember that? It was rare that you would run into somebody who was divorced because it was against the law. Do you know that? It was against the law. So when we let them come in and tell us that there was a separation between the church and state, actually what they told us is a separation between morality and state, right? Congress shall make no law restoring the establishment of a religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And they threw that out the window. And now there's no morality, there's no law, there's no common thread of what's right and wrong in America, and that's why we're in chaos. And the only way we're going to be able to win, we can continue to sit around. You know where I come from. We can continue to sit around and watch everything continue to degenerate and pray that Donald Trump comes in and saves it, or we can begin to get active locally and make a difference. And that's where I want to take you again here today, if you could. Matt, Spencer, pull up for me, number one. This is from some guy named, Christ. That's his last name. Jesus Christ, I think. I think so. I think Jesus Christ said this. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Folks, what's a steward? What's a steward? Thank you. Steward, someone who takes care of things. It'll be an assistant, a steward. What's a steward? He's a man employed in great families to manage the domestic concerns. Okay? That's a steward. We're supposed to be good stewards. He's an officer of the state. So he called his disciples and said, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So the steward's supposed to take care of everything. And people come along and say, your steward's screwing up. And he called it. So Jesus calls the steward. No, this certain man does. Calls the steward and said unto him, what's going on here, Willis? Can you give an account of your stewardship? For you may be no longer my steward. And then the steward said within himself, God, what do I do? What do I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I can't dig. To beg. What am I going to do for a job? What am I going to do for a job if he takes his job? Scrolling down. I'm embellishing it a bit. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, well, they're going to take me into their houses. So I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get booted out of my job. And then all these people I've been serving, they're going to take me in their houses. So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him. Everybody, he knew he was going to lose his job. He knew he was on his way out. So he called everybody. He was a steward, right? He called everybody that owed him money. He said unto him, how much you owe me? No, I'm sorry. How much you owe my Lord? Time out. Hey, Steve Deck, how much do you owe your Lord? Hey, Glenn, how much do you owe your Lord? Jeff Nell, how much do you owe your Lord? And he said, well, 100 measures of oil. He said, well, take that bill, sit down quickly and give me half of it. Give me half of it. So the unjust servant is stealing from the Lord. He said to another, how much you owe? And he said, 100. I said, okay, man, take it, right 40. Come on, pay up. I'll let you off here. Pay up here. And the Lord commended, Spencer, commended, what's that? The Lord commended him, praised him. He praised him, this unjust steward who's out there collecting half of it for himself, right? The Lord commended him because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Hey, somebody, you know what word you need to say right now? Boom! This is out of the mouth of Jesus. He says, those worldly folk, they got a lot more common sense than you dumb Christian folk. With me? Now, he's not encouraging stealing. Jesus isn't. He's just saying, dude, this guy knows he can't get everything, so he's getting part of it. Pretty smart. And think about what's going on where we are, what we're dealing with. And the law that's been given down to us and our obligation to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. That's our commission. And we're going to be commended for doing a good job of it. And are we? We sit around, we watch everything literally under the control of the dark side and the church waiting to get out of here, irresponsible, taking no accountability or no responsibility for being the steward we were supposed to be. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to go into all the world, and you're going to teach them to observe all I commanded you, and I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. And we have not done it. Now look at this, Steve. And I say unto you, Jesus Christ speaking, This is the wise owner. This is Jesus, right? But this is the wise owner. And he said, make to yourself friends of those who have money. Oh, yeah. Unrighteous, it says. Make to yourself friends of the unrighteous who have money. And when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He says, those wicked people, they'll take care of you. They're not as holy and righteous as those church folk. Wow. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Yeah, friends, do you know he's talking to us? He ain't talking about the lost guys. No, no, he's talking about us. He says, if you won't be faithful in this one little thing, I can't trust you to do the big thing. If you won't change the oil in the car, I ain't going to give you a new car. I can't trust you to do it. I can't trust you to take care of it. And if you've been faithful in that which is another man's, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Hang on. So you're paying money to educate somebody else's child that they came from monkeys, that they can have their penises cut off? You're not faithful to another man? You're not what? Because boys and girls, you're going to have to realize that no servant can serve two masters. Or he's going to hate one, love the other, or else he's going to hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Doesn't say you don't have to have money. It says you can't serve it. If everything you're doing is about money, you have totally missed the boat.
Amen.
If everything you do is about, see, you should accumulate money because money is power. Money is influence. So when I said yesterday, I'd like to hire a bevy of attorneys and attack these SOBs. You know what that takes? Money. And we act like something wrong with money. Ooh, money. Ooh, he's always asking for money. Well, I thought it ain't no big deal. I thought it's just paper. No, because with some reason we want to accumulate. So Jesus is talking about, not me, Jesus is talking about the riches here. Scroll on down, 14. I'm about done with this. You'll be able to pick your toes back up here in a minute. And the Pharisees also who were covetous. Isn't that funny how that sometimes that just snucks in there? And the Pharisees, who, by the way, they kept every dime there. They took money from people. They heard these things, and they got ticked off. Because Jesus is busting them out, man, because they're hoarding everything, right? They got the nice houses. They got the nice cars. They got every need they ever want. They're up there, and they're sitting, and they're lording over the rest of everything. Jesus is busting them out. And he said unto them, to the Pharisees, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So you man pleaser, dude, you ain't cutting it. No. The law and the prophets were until John. Watch, I could preach here, Steve. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. There's that word again. There's that word, those words, that phrase again. The law and the prophets were talked about until John, but since I showed up, the kingdom of God is preached. What? Go ye and occupy till I come. That's the kingdom of God. They don't even talk about it in church. In fact, we can't wait to get out of here. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away. Wow. Than for one tittle. That would be like the smallest mark, a dot and a tittle were the smallest marks you can make. So it's going to be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than just for one tittle of that law to pass away. I'm going to stop there because this goes on, but this is really, really good. And it's really good because it's going to lead me into what I want to talk about today. The point was this. The children of the world are smarter than us. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's admit it. The children of the world are smarter than us. We just give stuff. We don't even fight for it. Because we think we're going to get out of here. All right. I want to pull some things up here. Go to number three real quickly. Rules for Radicals. I've talked about it before, but it came to my attention yesterday when we were when we were watching how we were talking yesterday about how we can best impact right where we are, things that we need to do. And I was reminded as I was going through that, Alinsky's 13 tried and true rules for radicals, creating meaningful social change. Raise your hand if you want to create some meaningful social change. I promise you it isn't by elections. Promise you. So let's go real quickly to Alinsky's. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama were trained in Alinsky's rules for radicals. Alinsky was their mentor. And ask yourself, what's happened to America since Barack Obama popped up on the scene? Let's back up. Since the Clintons popped up on the scene. Okay, number one, rules for radicals. I'm going to read them fast. Power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood. Okay, so again, are the school boards afraid of us? Do they derive us, see us as having power? Power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. No, they're not afraid of us. Are they afraid of the ACLU? Yeah. Are they afraid of the homos? Yeah. Are they afraid of the trannies? Yeah. Are they afraid of the atheists? Yeah. Are they afraid of the Christians? No. Number two, never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone. So in other words, the natural family, if you understand that, you can do it, you can define it, it's easy, you'll be aggressive, you'll do it well. Our churches have not trained us in any outreach at all. The average person has no idea how to lead somebody to Christ. Three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Man, in other words, don't play by their rules. Number four, I could go into depth on these, but I'm not going to take the time to do it. Number four, how about this? Make the enemy live up to his own book of rules. So they tell us Christians are supposed to be loving and caring and non-judgmental and tolerant, which isn't true, but that's what they tell us. And then we have to live up to those rules. And then the pastors say, oh, yes, we have to be loving and caring and we can't judge. And so what happens? Alinsky infiltrates the churches and the churches all of a sudden are following Christian rules that aren't Christian rules. You get it? Come on, tell me you get it. They make us live up to our own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send them 30,000 letters. Tie them up answering letters. Tie them up answering phone calls. Make them live up to their own rules. Number five, ridicule is the man's most potent weapon. There's no defense for it. Anytime somebody calls me short and fat, I'm like, well, got me on that one. What can you do about it? What can you do about it? They say, but coach, that's not very nice. Well, we're at war. Number five, or six, a good tactic is one your people enjoy. They'll keep doing it without urging and come back to doing. Randy, how many places has Randy and his crew staked? Because they love it, having fun doing it. Every time they do it, they go do it. Number seven, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Set it up, do it, finish it, on, move on. Number eight, keep pressure on. Never let up. How many times, talking to Coach Dave now, Coach Dave, have you called your sheriff? Have you called him coach once a week? You haven't? Why? Squeaky wheel gets the grease. And when the phone rings, my sheriff obviously says, oh, daggone, it's coach again. Oh, right? Right? Come on. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. Number nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Threaten to sue him. You don't have to sue him. Threaten to. Threaten to expose them. You don't have to expose them. Threaten to. 10. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. That's what Mel's trying to do at the Liberty Action Network. Continue to keep pressure on the opposition, which, by the way, are the elected officials in most cases. Number 11. If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Think about the homo movement, the transgender movement. Down our throat, down our throat, down our throat, down our throat, down our throat. And then all of a sudden school says, that's enough. All right, we're for, we'll put up the signs. All right, we'll put up the flags. All right, we'll put up the rainbows. You get it? Do you get it? 12, the price of success, a price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught with what the next step is going to be. When we do this, they're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. Forward planning. I'm running off tackle, running off tackle, running off tackle, running off tackle. They start to stop, and I'm running the bootleg. As soon as they stop it, I'm running the bootleg. And then when they take care of the bootleg, then I'm gonna run the 30 trap. I'm gonna run right up the gut. Always be ready to adjust to whatever the defense is. And then this one, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. Cut off the network support, isolate the target for sympathy, and go after people. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. So we call our local superintendent and say, Mr. Superintendent, we're going to sue you. Not the school board, sir. We're going to sue you. A Mr. School Board member, we're going to sue you. Well, say, well, coach, they have liability insurance. Oh, yeah, good, good. You think they want to be sued? Think they want to? Well, say, well, they got a good defense. Well, good. You want them to, at night, you want them to lay in bed and worry about losing their house? I think that'd be a good thing. If we're at war, what did Jesus say? People of the world, they're wiser than you bunch of you dummy Christians. They know how to fight. Okay, so I want to show you some things. This is good. Somebody say, Coach, this is really good. I know it is. I know when it's really good, and it's really good. Okay, so I want to show you something here. Blew me away. Blew me away. So let me, I'm not a legal expert, but I can think, okay? So I'm thinking, how can we get them to stop teaching this perversion to our kids in school? How can we do that? There has to be some law they're breaking. What if, would anybody send their child to a school that taught the children to shoplift? Would you send your children to that school? Would you send your children to a shop class where they taught your kids how to siphon gasoline out of gas tanks and steal gas? You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't do that. Because those are crimes. You can't be doing that, right? Well, wow. How about number 6? Did you guys know adultery is a crime? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Did you know adultery is illegal? It's against the law. Did you know it's a crime? And did you know when they teach kids to be sexually permissive, they are instructing their kids on breaking the law? Have you ever thought about that? What is marriage supposed to be? A union of one man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. Anything outside that is against the law. Adultery is sleeping with someone you're not married to. You say, Coach, you're crazy. Am I really? Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down. State by state, come on, keep going, keep going, keep going. What are adultery laws? Generally, it describes voluntary sexual relationship between a married person and someone who's not their spouse. We can say that, okay. How about, is adultery still illegal? As of 2023, adultery is illegal in Alabama. Let's go, come on. It's on the books, Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, New York, come on, Oklahoma, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Wisconsin, still against the law. Adultery still against the law. And what are they teaching your kids in school? To do it. How can they get away with this, folks? Well, because we haven't been creative enough thinking about it and saying, Mr. Superintendent, if you teach that again to my child, I'll see you in court, dude. Because you are teaching my child to violate not only his faith, but the law.
Amen.
Folks, do you see this? Do you see this? See, this is exactly what the left does. They cherry pick things like this. Number four. I'm going to open it up here, I promise you. No, go to number five. Go to number five, Spencer. Wow. Number five. What is contributing to the delinquency of a minor? Let me tell you something. Your schools are guilty of it, boys and girls. They're guilty of it. Contributing is this is March 2024. That'd be like a month ago this was written, right? A month ago. So you commit the criminal offense of contributing to the delinquency of a minor when you commit some act or fail to act in a certain way, and the action or inaction makes a child more prone to engage in illegal activities. Hey, friends, is it legal to commit adultery? Is it legal to commit adultery? The answer is no. And what is contributing to the delinquency of a minor, Roger? The action or inaction makes a child more prone to engage in illegal activities. Our schools are contributing to the delinquency of a minor. You get it? So the legal definition is, legal definition of contributing to a minor is to commit an act or omission that, that makes a child a juvenile delinquent. If my neighbor's child is having sex with someone outside the bonds of marriage, they are committing a crime. And if I'm teaching them how to do it, I'm guilty of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Anybody think I'm crazy? So why? How did I commit a crime? Because you committed an act and failed to perform a duty. What's the duty? Duty? Don't do that. That's a crime. You cannot sleep with her. That's a crime. Instead, we give them condoms. In doing so, you caused or contributed to causing a minor to become a delinquent child, a habitual truant, screwing every Friday night, or a dependent of the juvenile court. Similarly, people in Colorado will face charges of contributing to the delinquency of a minor if they induce, aid, or encourage a child to violate any federal or state law, municipal, county ordinance, or court order. Adultery's against the law! Wow. What's the best defenses? Penalties, defense. Okay, I think you guys are, you're getting this, aren't you? You getting this? You mean to get, we can't get together with our legal minds and file lawsuits on these people. We can't do that. So here's a law. Hey, Sheriff, here's what they're doing. This one, look what they're doing at school. They're violating, Sheriff, look, Sheriff. Is the Sheriff going to go do it on his own? No, he's not. That's why we have radical rules for radicals. Because we bombard the Sheriff till he gets off his butt and does what his job is to do. Is to arrest those who are contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Called education. All right, hang on. I'm about ready to open it up. Pull up number two, then I'll open it up. Children of this world are wiser than most of us. Huh? Oh, yeah, they are. How about the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission? Civil Rights Act. Without reading all the way down through this, folks. If they prevent your child from any way, shape, or form following his deeply held religious beliefs, they have violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Eileen! Roger! Somebody help me here! Goes on every day! Because the Civil Rights Act contains religious expression. So I want to go to school, hang on here, and you're going to teach me, my child, that he came from monkeys when there's out clearly no evidence of it at all. It's a theory. You're going to teach that to my child when my child goes to church every Sunday and we teach him that he was taught and created in the image of God. And we as church people are going to sit back and let them teach our child a lie that violates their conscience Wake up, dudes. Wake up. Think what it would be if it was happening to a minority. So we have been become convinced in America that there are only minority rights, no majority rights. My child, your child, your grandchild should not have to sit in a classroom and listen to the lies of evolution. Why? Because it violates their religious beliefs. This ought to be thumbs up like crazy. I mean, this is it, isn't it? So what's contributing to the delinquency of a minor? An adult who helps, encourages, or contributes to a minor child becoming a juvenile delinquent. How many think that would be some teachers? Think that would be some teachers maybe right here? Or may face criminal charges of contributing to the delinquency of a minor or contributing to delinquency. A minor child is anyone under the age of majority, which is 18 years of age in most states. Unbelievable, huh? Guidance counselors taking your child out to get the pill? Are you kidding me? Okay, go on. We're on to something here. I'm trying to get my mouse to work. It's good stuff, man. Come on in, Jack.
You're right, Coach. Local, local, local. Every single school has an anti-bully policy, the policy of the school system. And every school is bullying children into using untruthful words.
Amen, brother.
So their policy, take it to them. It's personal, right to the superintendent. They're violating their own policy, and they don't want anybody to show that.
And, Rod, hey, you know what? And you have to say those words, that, not the cuss words, but it's almost like a cuss word. You have to say to them, Mr. Superintendent, I'll see you in court. And then we have to follow through and do it. Folks, the laws are clear. The laws are not open to interpretation. If I'm a Christian man and I go in and say, my daughter lost her virginity because of what she learned in health class, somebody's accountable for that, baby, because we sure didn't teach that in our house. We sure didn't do that in our house. And I want to know how many other children are you forcing me to pay to teach that to them? Don't go to D.C. Don't go to the Supreme Court. Tie up your local superintendent, your local school board. Jeff Nell.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, great subject here.
Thanks.
You asked a question, what can we do? I found this organization out of Tennessee is to remove porn books from the school libraries. And like this, the commonest goal is to use technical decisions of the courts to make it look like don't criminalize obscenities to make it look like it violates civil rights. There is a came before United States Supreme Court, Island Tree School District versus PICO. And what it's designed for, you can't remove them. And they made a decision that if they're vulgar, they can be removed.
Because they're not arguing the right argument, see?
Yeah.
They're arguing freedom of books or whatever. They're not arguing that you're violating the religious beliefs of my child. That's the argument, and that's the argument we're not making.
Right. So we're going to... they develop a process to defeat the system because of that technical decision of the courts. There is a way to do it. I'm going to learn how to do it. And if you like, I'll let you know.
Well, that's what we're talking about doing right here. We got to chop off their head with their own sword. Chop off their head. Folks, you will make enemies. You will make enemies. But it's funny. Excuse me. We're talking about finances at the beginning of the thing. This can't be done without money. We can't ask some lawyer to fight and fight. Well, can you imagine if we put on some lawyer, a retainer of $100,000 and said, hey, dude, do me a favor. Just do this. Just do this, will you? Take your law firm and just do this. And we'd see the wheel. See some of these
hold on,
larger.
Sorry. I'm like a lot. Show.
You're breaking up, Josh. Okay, so are you with me here? Do you see what I'm saying? You mean we can't look, all of these civil rights issues that we have, American Center for Law and Justice, the you all can name them, these public law firms, you can name them, there's all kinds of them, huh? Why can't I just have one locally? Why can't we come up with $100,000 and pay this guy to kick ass right here? Let's just kick ass around right around here. Make this your full-time job. We're going to raise the money, and we're going to fight, and we're going to begin to take back our local school districts one at a time. And as soon as we win in the Lakewood School District, why, Licking Valley is going to do it too. Then Newark's going to do it. And then Watkins Memorial is going to do it. Then Licking Heights will do it. And then Heath will do it. And then Fairfield Union will do it. And then Sheridan. You get how it works? You get how it works? Now, we want to go to some big law firm in Washington, D.C., and they'll go lobby officials. But no. All politics is local. Hold your ears. Sue their ass. That's where the other side plays. Come on in, Roger.
Well, Dave, we've been in this discussion a few times over the years, and you know, you even started with Dr. Tenpenny. People, at least my understanding, when I would talk to a lot, people did not want to give money to the cause.
That's right.
You might even have a valid premise for the suit. I mean, I'd have to look at the case law, but my point is, we've been here, we've talked, and for some reason, when you present this to the public from a finance standpoint,
yeah,
they just do not want to give to an organization that you have just described. Now, maybe the big boys, they meet and greet and the big donors, but in a smaller scale, there just does not seem to be the desire to support such action. I think that's a fundamental issue there.
Well, we have to stir that up, Roger. By the way, I remember 5 years ago, I think 4 years ago, maybe it was, when Tom Condit told me about this young lawyer up around Toledo that was fighting it. That guy's name was Tom Renz. And he decided he was going to put all his effort and time and energy into this. He wasn't going to be doing other types of law. He's going to put, and he can't keep up with the business. So, Roger, I think properly structured, look, 1,000 people giving $10 a month, you don't think we could do this? And that lawyer specifically headed towards that case. We're going to do this and this. We're going to file this in this school district, and we're going to file in this district, and we'll file in this district. And this thing would begin to grow as people began to see that they were taking their schools back. That's my take on it. I don't know. Yeah, Josh says, I got more than 10 bucks. Me too, Josh. Brett.
Hey, Coach, Roger brings up a good point. And here's what we learned from the Christian Revolution. We had so much energy at the beginning because it was all about the max and the vaccines and bringing lawfare, but it's unsustainable as an organization. But you're hitting a home run. We don't want to raise it for the broad. We want to make one example out of somebody and put all the energy into one case and get that victory. I think we can learn from what we did in the past. We shut Christian Revolution down, but now we can get back into one example and then drill that down. That's the play they can't stop.
You know, Brett, I said this. I said to my wife yesterday. I did. Funny that you bring that up. I said we were talking about the Christian Revolution. I said to my wife, and I don't want this is not besmirching anybody. Brett, you'll remember this. I said, look, this is going to move beyond medical. This is going to move beyond medical. This is going to move. They didn't want to hear it. Because it was at the beginning of COVID, and it was doctors and shots and health thing. I said, no. This Christian Revolution is bigger than this. It's bigger than this. And then as soon as we tried to make it bigger than this, then we lost some of our momentum. Because why? People didn't get it.
That's right. They didn't get it. Yep. But now, Coach, people can get really what your experience was. And then following their playbook, these rules for radicals, but we have to drill down, and it is a battle. This isn't playtime.
But it's going to be on our terms, right? We're going to go after one school district, and we're going to hammer them till they lose. You know what's going to happen? the people in the school district are going to rise up and say, yeah, I don't want that taught to my kids either. Because, folks, the rights of the majority, once again, need to prevail. And they don't. They're not prevailing. Everything is minority. Look what JR is going through, just trying to get freaking local guys to stand up for traditional families. They won't even do that. Won't even do that. They're worried about the homos coming after. JR, is that true or not? Are the city councils, are they worried about the homos coming to get them? Yeah, they are. They're not afraid of us. I'm sorry. They're not afraid of us. And can I tell you something else? You're not afraid of the Lord. You're not afraid of the Lord. Because he told you it'd be better to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean than to continue to pay for them to turn your neighbor's kid into a transgendered homo. Oh, yeah. Oh, you better pray for the blood, baby. You better pray that blood covers you. Because you ain't going to stand up and fight. You're going to get a retirement home, and you're going to get a trailer that you can haul. You're going to get all this other stuff. You get a boat, go on vacations. And they're cutting off your neighbor's dingling by destroying his soul. That's pretty serious stuff, I think. Come on in, Paul.
I was talking to a Scott Shira. You remember him, right?
Yes.
His God of Grace. And he's doing exactly that, except, he's funding it mostly with his own money. But I can tell you, if you want to run a parallel system like I do, I mean, you have to rely on that little bit of money you get every month. Right, Coach?
Right.
You have to pay legal secretaries. I have to pay a secretary. The overhead is amazing in law because it's all about bullshit words. Excuse my language. It's about having specialized secretaries that know the law. And in my case, it's just about supplies and demand. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy. And I think you got it right, Coach, because I'm surviving, right? But I don't, guy who's not taking it, he's not worried about his own butt. But he's going to burn out if he doesn't have a roof over his head.
So Paul, here's what I want. If I come to visit you as a doctor, okay, and I got whatever that disease is, I don't come to you to tell me how bad it's going to get. I come to you to tell me how I'm going to get better. And we don't have that mentality in the church. We go to the doctor, church, and the church tells us all how bad it's going to get. That's not why I go to church. I go to church because I want to know what we're going to do about it, how we're going to cure it. That's what I want to do. It's a mentality. And we sat around and we've allowed Washington to throw that great big old lasso around all of us and wrap us all up. And we don't even know how, we can't even fight locally anymore. Judd, come in.
This is good stuff.
I know it is.
What's great is we have warriors on the call. Right. And with that, we have the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit speaks through all of us, we can coordinate and game plan and run and execute the plays that need to be played. So if we're running off tackle, we're going to run it off tackle. The thing is with the playbook, Brett hit this right on the head. You know, obviously the Christian Revolution, this whole topic, this would be great. This would be great. A college football team posts their roster. A college football team posts their schedule. A college football team posts their budget. And then they go out and they say, we're going to go execute. I think one of the things to do in terms of getting wins is, you know what, not putting 12 different lawsuits on the board right now. It's putting, like you said, one game, one lawsuit up on the board, and then someone like a Tom Rentz having an open budget. Hey, this is the legal case. Post it publicly for the whole world to see. And if the whole world sees that legal case, they see the budget, they go, you know what? Wow, there's a win. Once there's a win posted publicly, the whole world is going to rally around and go, I am going to give for game two. We are going to give. And so what happens is a lot of people, here's what happens. What's done in secret, no one knows about. What's done in public, the whole world can rally around. And that's really what we're starting to see in the world, because the whole world is now holding the Congress account accountability is the number one thing that a coach can do for his players, because you know what? It's painful. Accountability is painful. No one likes to be held accountable.
No.
Once you go through that accountability, what happens on the back end is that, you know what? You become a better person because iron sharpens iron. And if you want to be in the game, the gridiron is about iron. And people have to buckle up and say, you know what? We are going to stand for the truth, and we're going to get some wins under our belt, and we can do it. And the reason why we can do it is because we have the sword of the Spirit with us, inside of us, and we stand in truth, and we are going to win this game.
So Judd, someplace in the deep crevices of hell, Satan has the ACLU in a headlock and punching him in the face for saying, why did you go after Coach Dave?
Amen.
You guys created a freaking monster. What were you guys thinking? Right? Right? So
they were petrified of you, Coach. They were scared of you, Coach, because walk in the Spirit and you have the truth. Amen. That is why they hate us.
Amen. Amen. So look, I don't want to run this thing. I don't want to run this thing. Okay? I don't want to do it. It's not my expertise. But we sure as heck ought to be able to get together and find a group of guys who are gonna do this thing, and we are going to raise some money, and we are going on the offensive, and we're gonna start cutting off some heads. That's what we're gonna start doing. And then we're gonna parade them downtown. Come on in, Craig.
Well, Coach, most of us are commentators. We're not committed. Okay, we are not committed. We'll come up with a good idea, and then it falls to the wayside. So if we're not willing to commit to this, let's don't even go. And I'm not saying this against you. Okay, I'm just saying let's not even start it, right? Because what it's going to do, it's going to be a failure, and it's just going to be another victory for the other side. So if this is going to be an anointed thing by God, right? Then we're going to have to sit there and say, Lord, you know, this is yours. We're going to pray about it. You're going to start opening some doors. And guess what? We're going to be there. We're going to be behind that. I put it in the chat. Okay. When I was in the fire department, you know, you see these people, you know, you see them, you drive by, you know, they take the jaws of life out. How do you do that? You know what you do? You start at a purchase point. You start at one point, you open it up, you spread, you move, you spread, you go and you do, and then you pop the door off, then you cut the roof off. Okay. If this is the purchase point, okay. This is long-term, folks.
Yep.
Don't be a commentator here. Don't sit here and say, oh. If you're going to be committed, then you make a vow to God to be committed in this. And then that's you and the Lord, okay? I sent something to you, Coach, and a couple other people in your email. I think it's very – please take time to look at it, okay? So
I will. Then the bandwagon effect jumps on, folks. Then off we go. But we need a jumping off spot. That's what we need. Dale, come on in.
Well, Coach, you know, people like a bang for their buck. Just a thought here. Let's say we were going to say we're suing you, right? So this is a civil lawsuit, and we're going after money. All right, so just say, I'm going to go small chump change. We're suing for $1 million. And I need $10,000. So the people who put up $10,000 become participants or receivers of the $1 million.
They become part of the settlement.
Exactly, Coach.
My goodness. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, you'll notice that Alinsky didn't say you must preach to them about Karl Marx philosophy. See? We can't go in there preaching the gospel at the school board meeting. We go in there and know previously, we research, we know their rules,
and we
choke them with their own rules.
That's it, man.
Just choke them. You can choke them. You can choke them right out of existence.
The rights of the majority. See, all of our laws right now, friends, are the minority. They're all minority rules, right? All of them. Minorities, affirmative action, minorities, right? What about the rights of the majority? The majority have rights as well. And we are Christians, and we want this taught in our schools as the majority. Now, those who don't want to hear about Christianity in public schools, they can opt out. They don't have to be part of it. But we are going to put Christianity morality back in our public schools. We're going to do it. Now, hey, the separation between the church and state. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Now, we know what religion is, right? Those are the rules and regulations that men follow when serving God. We ain't promoting no religion. We're promoting Christianity. We're promoting a lifestyle. We're promoting a belief system. We don't let them hang that religion on us. I'm promoting no religion. Uh-uh. I'm promoting Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what I'm promoting. And so we can't let them win using their own language. If I came in and said, listen, all right, from now on, Lakewood High School, which is right down the road from me, all right, from now on, Lakewood High School, you're going to teach Baptist doctrine in the schools. I'd be against that. That's what the separation of church and state means. Doesn't mean no morality. Doesn't mean you can't teach the Bible. Say, we're going to teach the Bible. Oh, by the way, you don't want to hear about the Bible? You can opt out. Muslims, you don't have to come in there. They're doing just the opposite to us. They're saying, oh, so these Muslims, they don't want to hear the gospel. Okay, nobody gets to hear it then. Might offend them. What the hell's happened to us? I'm excited about this. We're going to need the, like I said, man, it's, oh my goodness. It's all good. Okay, one more thing. Pull up number 7 real quick. Do you guys know adultery is a crime? Do you know adultery is a crime? I already told you that, didn't I? Pull up number 7. Police, sheriffs, military, judges, government officials, remember and honor your sacred oath to our Constitution and our country. We got to start suing some local sheriffs for violation of their oath. They're not upholding the Constitution. When I am getting blocked from sharing Christ in the school, they're violating the Constitution because their job is to what? Protect my deeply held religious beliefs. Folks, do you see where this goes? Instead of us sitting back and saying, well, you guys are the majority. You don't have any rights. All the rights belong to these minorities. How much longer are we going to have affirmative action? How long has that been around, affirmative action? How long are we going to continue to allow black people to be victims? At what point do black people stand up and say, I ain't no victim anymore. I've had the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Somebody do math for me. What is this? 64 to 24 is how many years? 64 to 24 is 60 years. Yeah. We've had 60 years of affirmative action. In 60 years, we still haven't gotten this black-white thing right in 60 years. We're going to keep doing it. Blacks still need help. Why do they need help? Because there's no morality. No morality taught. No mommy and daddy in the black community. Nobody will see it because they'll call you a racist and a homophobe and a big. There are mommies and daddies in the white America. That's what the problem is. Why? Because we don't teach morality. Why don't we teach morality? Because it might offend some Muslim. Come on, man. This is the devil, boy. This is the devil popping clutch on us. Well, let's fight back. The Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof of all treaties made on which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. We have God-given rights. We don't have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights, and we've allowed the government and the government actors and the Luciferians behind the scene to steal from us our God-given right to teach morality to our children, to all children, and let those who don't want to learn it opt out. We got it backwards. See you tomorrow.